doing the kind of work instead of like, you know, regular class and segment, it's going to go more like this. Because I'm going to be bringing pieces in from the future to now to introduce them, so that, and then build on them, so that then we'll get to where, what I was talking about. And I got this from engineering school at the University of Wyoming, because that's how they do their engineering classes. They teach something a little bit, and then another class will add on to it. Then you go back to the first class, and it's added on again and reinforced, and it develops a whole way of thinking. And you see it from a whole bunch of different perspectives, and that's really cool. I like that. So all we're going to do is stop. So if somebody give me a 2-minute warning, and we'll just unplug, and we'll come back next week. So there's really not discrete steps in here. There's just a rolling continuation. And we just unplug and go do what's next. So I got a bunch of verses, and this is kind of about starting points. In apologetics and in interactions with people, there's a certain starting point. There's given ideas when we interact with people. If you can, and we have the Holy Spirit as such a wonderful help to do this, is what we use the phrase, where are you coming from? That's apologetics. And the word is for apologetics comes out of the courtroom. It's what a defense attorney does for their client. They're presenting a reasoned, rational explanation of why their client should be let go. And it's kind of distorted now when we apologize for something, we're saying we're sorry. And that's, it's kind of one of those quirky twists of language, and later on we'll be talking about language, because there's people out there, language has no meaning whatsoever, and they're using language to explain why language has no meaning and expecting you to understand the meaning of them explaining that language has no meaning. And there's books and PhDs, and that's how confused the world is getting out there. So there's atheists the professional atheists out there go around trying to convince everybody that life has no meaning. Their purpose in life is to convince you that life has no purpose. That's the confusion. Somebody look up Ecclesiastes 10, please. So, while doing that, so this key verse, Isaiah 6:3. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The whole earth is filled with His glory. It's not going to be. It is. Kind of related to that is Habakkuk 2:14, which says, what is missing is the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. The whole creation testifies to the glory of God all the time. To such an extent that Paul in Romans 10 said, there is no place on the earth where their voice is not heard. And he's talking about the heavens, declaring the glory of God. And it's part of the testimony to all of humanity that the glory of God is all around us. And that's why there's been an effort. In our history over the last 300 to 500 years. Before about 1700, plus or minus 25 years, was called it's really called the Dark Ages. Because that's when people lived by faith. These religious leaders tell you what you're going to believe and how you're going to live your life. And it's very authoritarian. And they painted in some pretty bleak ways. And there, unfortunately, are some bleak parts of our history, like the Spanish Inquisition, witch trials, and they bring those up. But see, those are counter to the biblical narrative, not consistent with. And that's part of trying to help people understand is these people did stuff that is exactly the opposite of what Jesus said to do. Mm-hmm. So, in correcting it, but certainly in a sense, they don't care about that. Because it's a way, we'll get kind of building into why there are so many religions. They don't want the biblical narrative to be true. Doesn't matter how true it is, doesn't matter how strong the evidence is, doesn't matter how good the philosophy, the science, the theology is, they don't want it to be true. And so we'll get to that in a minute. But in this time, when this age of faith, when people just live by what the religious authorities told them to believe, came, actually in there was the Protestant Reformation. And when various people started watching, observing the battles, the bloodshed, Catholics and Protestants and subgroups all fighting each other, there's no God. This is our proof. And it really launched the atheistic Reformation at the same time. And in the early 1700s, it was called the Enlightenment. See, we have the Dark Ages, and now we have the Enlightenment. People are going to live by science and reason and their intelligence. Some will say their God-given intelligence would be, but it's sort of an oxymoron if you're trying to come up with a way, and this is part of the Enlightenment project, was to explain everything without God. Because they believe, and a lot of Christians, the only purpose for God is to explain stuff. They call it the God of the gaps. Well, we don't know what causes lightning, so God must be doing it. Well, now we know lightning is caused by the friction of the atmosphere and the energy, and then it builds up to a point where it discharges. And so, okay, God, you're not needed for that one anymore. But there's all these mysteries. And what this apologetic is saying, there is no such thing as God of the gaps. He is God of everything. The glory of the Lord covers the earth. It's in His creation. It's in absolutely everything. And ultimately, nobody can explain anything without God being in back of it. Now, you can make up stuff, and being careful observers, a lot of atheistic people are, they just see how things work. And they learn from that. We learn technology. How it works has nothing to do with anybody's belief system. The why in back of it, that might. But that does. There could be no science if it weren't for God. But yet, these professional atheists will tell everybody that Christianity is the biggest impediment to science that there is. And so, as we go through this stuff, I'll be showing you little things. I'm not just going to give you a bunch of facts that you can dump on somebody, but we do need to have answers to honest questions. Not all questions are honest. There's the first one. Some people are, well, if God is all powerful, can He make a rock so big that He Himself can't lift it? That's a philosophical error there. It's not a mechanical error or a power. It's philosophical. You're talking about, it's trying to mash together apples and oranges. And that's the problem with the question. But somebody have Ecclesiastes 10.
The words of a wise man's mouth win him favor, but the lips of a fool consume him. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is evil madness.
Where we add in a lot of time, a lot of things today, there's a lot of talk that is just evil madness. Anybody's familiar with the restroom controversy? Who gets to use which? That comes out of this. One translation calls it raving madness. this comes out of this, as this progresses further, so it just becomes more insane. And I don't know if you've ever actually had the experience of talking to a crazy person, but there's not much discussion going to happen there because there's no rational basis to have a discussion. We have the age of faith, the dark ages, and then we have the age of reason, the enlightenment, and that whole project again was to come up with a way to explain everything without God. And then as time progressed, that was called the modern age, when everything is built by science. I remember as a kid these commercials on TV, better living through chemistry. I don't know, I haven't seen one of those in a very long time. I'd probably must remember some of those. but it was this humanistic, atheistic, science and technology will solve all of the world's problems. And they have, but they've also created much more. But it was the idea that us, we don't need God, but us, we ourselves can solve all of our problems. And so this brought into the age of modernism. Now we're what is called postmodern. In modernism, it tried to discover the architecture of reality. And ultimately, there is none. There is none. They know that. And it was up to man, and this is, philosophers very often are leading the way into cultural change. Always wonder where the hippie rebellion of the 60s came from. Well, it was being taught by college professors in the 50s. And those guys were feeding into this mindset, and part of it was the postmodern thinking. There is no structure to reality. These modernists, they all know that. They're trying to impose structure. The whole Big Bang theory is a way of imposing a structure on cosmological issues. But it's a fabrication, because they don't know. But there is no God, and we're here, so there's got to be natural processes from nothing to us. We just got to figure out what it is. And so theory's changing. About every other month, if you watch Discovery, Scientific American, Discovery Magazine, Scientific American, New Scientist, those, there'll be some revolution that changes everything. And it's because, one philosopher described it as, there's new facts coming out of the womb of reality every day. And we might discover some new fact that changes. Well, has anybody seen Iron Man 2? The second one, where he invents a new element. You have to kind of just enjoy the entertainment, not think about the reality of and this is worldview stuff. We might come up with a brand new element, never before known. Well, yet part of that depends on a dumbed down population to not be able to see why there's a problem there. But entertainment, that's what it is. So in the modernists, they were trying to discover or say what the structure of reality is. All this comes out of Darwin, Karl Marx, Freud, all of these guys trying to describe what reality is, because they start with no God. Since there is no God, dot, dot, dot. So it's up to us to describe it. Well, the postmodern said, why go through all that trouble? Reality is chaos. Reality is what? If these guys are saying what reality is, then why can't I say what reality is? Everybody heard creating your own reality? It's kind of all over. And where did they get it? From these university professors who've been teaching it now for 50 years. We're now in fourth generation postmodern. And we're ending up in wicked or raving madness. Because God's structure, the glory, everything that exists, exists and fits in with God's structure of reality. He's already described what it is. We're just discovering it. One early guy said we're thinking God's thoughts after. So we get to discover what God has already done. And so we discover. We can manipulate atoms. We can do all kinds of things that make life better. In some cases. Well, in a lot of cases, really.
That allows
us. I mean, the low cost energy around the world lifts people out of poverty faster than anything else. And so this big push to limit carbon footprints and all that kind of stuff is exactly the opposite of low cost energy. And so the people who will suffer the most are the poorest of the poor, because they don't have access. Windmills and light panels and all that kind of stuff are very expensive. They can't do it. They're interviewing a doctor in Kenya who can run his lights or his refrigerator. He can only run one thing at a time with what the UN has generously given him to conserve energy. And the poor ultimately suffer the most from all of that stuff. The postmoderns say, why go to electric? You figure out. In fact, every identity, it's about identity. Romans chapter 1, the first identity is laid out. And it's between the Creator and
creation.
Or created.
Yeah.
Yes, there is a God. And He made everything. John 1 describes who that God is, and He put on flesh and dwelt among us. So, if the universe started from nothing for no reason, which is what the Big Bang says, in the beginning was nothing, and then nothing exploded. Here's a little lesson here. If there was a quantum fluctuation in the nothingness, is that something? Is that quantum fluctuation a nothing or a something? So no matter what, they're still starting with something. And one guy wrote this book about a universe from nothing, and what he's doing in the whole book is monkeying around the concept of nothing. Well, there was space. Well, is space something or nothing? I think I have it.
Where did space come from?
Exactly. And let's just give us one miracle and we can handle everything else. Okay? Let's see if I got it. It's a Stephen Hawking quote that, I don't think I brought it. That because there is a law of gravity, the universe can and will create itself from nothing. This is one of the most brilliant physical theorists next to Newton saying this. This is raving madness.
So Michael, just so we can look at, you know, these kinds of theories and even people with the right mindset, in your opinion, is it more an unwillingness for them to look at truth, or just dug in and unwilling? Or is it an inability to even see it because Satan has blinded the minds of the unbelievers? They can't.
It's both. Because ultimately, let's go to John chapter 3. 16.
Because I think it helps us look at them with the right mindset.
And
right.
This is out in the root of why there are so many religions. It is not that they want to, but can't. It's worse than that. And what Jesus said in John. Somebody want to read, just starting at 16. Most famous verse in the whole world.
Mm-hmm. And I love it. Mm-hmm. I love that most famous verse.
Yes. Gonna read it? It's what comes after that.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light,